All right, welcome to the Bob Prescott Show. I am your host, Gary Snyder. He is the man you want to hear from. Bob Prescott, head coach of the Huntington North Vikings football team. How are you today?
I am fantastic. So proud of our young men and just trying to do everything we can this weekend to help get them ready for Columbia City.
Boy, you know, I'm looking back at the game Friday night. You know, it was kind of back and forth early. And, you know, that final score of 36-20 is not indicative of how close this game really was.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Our kids just played so hard and laid it all out there. And that's what we want our young men to do. We had some opportunities that we just didn't take advantage of. I think it was 7-7 after the first quarter. And then they were ahead 10-7 at the half. I thought we had a drive going in the second quarter that if we could have punched that in, that would have really helped us. But we had some penalties on our offense that hurt us. And it's just I think regardless offensively, whether it's our offense, which is more of a run first kind of concept, or if you're a pass first, penalties just hurt you and you got to execute that stuff. It just makes it harder to get points on the board when you have those penalties. And we had two plays back-to-back that killed that drive that hurt us. But we were so excited at halftime. You know, they were ranked, I believe, sixth or seventh in the state in the IFCA poll, and we were playing at their place. And I thought our kids just went up there and battled, and to come off the field of confidence being in a game like that. And then today I'm trying to remember what happened next, but, you know, at one point with 3 minutes, I think 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, we're ahead 14-10. And so our kids were just really competing. We forced them into a couple of interceptions. We had a fumble recovery. You know, we wanted to take away their playmakers, which was their quarterback and a couple of their receivers. And I thought we'd done a really nice job of that. They scored 14-10. They had scored twice. So it's 23-14. We come back and score. We had the extra point was blocked. So it's 23-20, and thinking we're right in this with about 8 minutes to go in the game. And then we had a couple turnovers late that they capitalized in the points to make that final margin what it was. But our kids just played so hard and just so proud of their efforts. You know, and we're playing at a high enough level of intensity that we told them the next morning in film that, you know, when you play that hard, typically every game you look at can come down to five plays. You know, and if you can change those five plays or make a difference, it's a total outcome of the game. And probably we could say it was two or three plays against East Noble, and it would have been a different scoreboard. We'd be celebrating a victory instead of having a hurtful loss. But just so proud of our young men.
You know, you talk about the second quarter and the penalties. I guess it goes to show it doesn't matter what level that you're playing at. Penalties are drive killers.
There's no question about that. And you know, we've been pretty good. It wasn't horrible overall, but it's just the timing of it. And we're trying to get our kids now to understand when you play really hard, you know, it could come down to one play, and you don't want to be that guy to let your teammates down and your brothers down, saying that was a play that I made a mistake on. And but to be able to go compete against kind of the perennial conference champ and play that way was just outstanding for our guys and our growth. We ran 77 plays and had over 300 yards of offense. Which was really good for us and where we're at and learning the offense. They ended up, I forget the number of plays they had. I was shocked that they ended up with over 400 yards, but they're an explosive, dynamic offense with their weapons, and we forced them to go to some other players that they normally didn't go to. So from that part of our big game plan, our kids executed it really well.
You know, I always hate using the word moral victory because, you know, you play the game to win or lose. But would you consider this a moral victory for your team?
I agree with you. I don't like that term at all. The loss still hurts, and it hurts bad. But we talk about the growth that we see and the improvement. We'll never be satisfied with a loss. But there are things we can keep pointing to say, hey, you keep growing. And that's really our goal. Every day we want to improve and get better as a person and as a player. And we can point stuff out on film and show them that that is happening. And I think that just reinforces all the hard work and everything that they're doing. And so we can continue to build and grow daily.
Well, let's look at the offense. What'd you like about the offense against East Noble, and who were your standouts on offense Friday?
I thought our offensive line done an outstanding job. We finally got some rhythm going. Last week against Jay County, we put up a lot of points. But to be honest, that wasn't a Warsaw defense or a East Noble defense we were going against. And so to be able to go against a quality defense that had some size and speed and find some rhythm and find some creases, I believe we had 16 first downs. And that's a good number to have in high school football. So we were doing some things there. So up front, they done really good. We got Garrett Johnson involved a little more on the offense to help. Devin Newcomb done such an important job shutting down their number one receiver on defense. He did have an interception again Friday night, but we just needed to give him a breather on offense. So Devin played the entire first quarter. And then Garrett came in the second quarter and done a nice job. And they just run the ball a little bit differently. Garrett's not as big as Devin, so I think it's sometimes harder for the defense to find Garrett. I thought our three backs done really well. So we ran a lot to our left. So Lawson Shearer had a big night. I think he had over 20 carries and almost 100 yards. And just overall, the whole unit done really, really well. Our passing game, we threw 13 passes and connected on 8 of them and had 2 touchdowns. Cam McCarver had those on some flat passes that we were running. And so just improvement everywhere on offense. And so now we just got to get rid of those few penalties and just continue to evolve and finish drives.
All right, well, let's go on the other side of the ball. You held East Noble. They were at 23 points with 8 minutes to go in the game. Talk about your defense a little bit and who are some people that we should be recognized with there?
Well, I really thought for maybe the first time I just seen our entire defense swarming to the ball, and our defensive line done an outstanding job. We're a slant and angle front. We're not big and strong where we can take a guy across from him and engage him and drive him back. So we're always slanting and angling in the gaps. And so the guys that got the boatload of the work were Nate Jacobs, Aiden Dennis, and Bailey Landrum. And I thought they'd done an outstanding job. And then the three staff backers, I really felt, had their best ball game of the year as well. And those are seniors Nathan York and Isaac Hill. And then our middle linebacker, our Mike Backer, is Aiden Rabbit Jr. And I just thought they really done a nice job taking care of understanding some tendencies based on formation and understanding that their running back or their quarterback is their number one run threat, and done a nice job bottling him up for most of the night. And I just thought that front six done a great job. I already mentioned Devin Newcomb had an interception. Lawson Shearer had an interception. I believe Nate Jacobs had a fumble recovery that was caused by Jackson Holzinger, our safety. And so just as an overall unit, we've done some really good things. They connected on some passes that I thought our coverage was pretty good on. And they hit us once or twice on some stuff that they had to pull out of their bag or go into their tour. Don't do. And if we force good teams to do that, they beat us, you got to tip your hat to them for executing and going into that extra toolbox to get those other tools out. But just love the way that our whole defense competed Friday night.
Anything else you want to add to Friday's game before we have you announce this week's player of the week?
I thought our special teams was outstanding again. You know, Aiden Hostler done a great job with the kickoffs. And he's outstanding there. His punts, there were no punts returned. And so that was good. Devin Newcomb had another big return in the second half that helped get some momentum to us. So I thought we were executing well in that phase of the game as well. The player of the week this week is senior Cameron Faust. He's our right tight end, and he's just been getting better every week. He's so solid in some of our blocking schemes that he's taking some bigger guys and blocking them one-on-one and doing an outstanding job. And late in the game, he had a 19-yard pass reception. And so, you know, we've asked him to do some things differently than he's ever done before. And he's accepted that and keeps getting better every week.
All right, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Bob Prescott Coaches Show. I am your host, Gary Snyder. He's the man you want to hear from. Bob Prescott, head coach of the Huntington North Vikings football team. All right, we just went over, you know, Friday's game, a tough loss for you. Let's look ahead. You're at home on this coming Friday against the neighbors to the north, Columbia City, that would be. So let's talk a little bit about Columbia City. Let's break down the tape, if you will. Talk a little bit about their offense.
Well, they are, they're 3-0 right now, playing really well. They've got a sophomore quarterback that I believe was a starter as a freshman. He's 6'5", 210. He's thrown for over 700 yards in three games. They've got two really good receivers that they go to. They're going to sling it around a lot. We feel like we're in the process right now of getting all their tendencies taken care of and understanding things. I think playing East Noble last week will help us in our preparations for Columbia City. There's some things that are similar that they're doing that I think that will help our secondary play. Been very pleased with our secondary guys. But, you know, obviously, we got to find a way to put pressure on their quarterback and get him on the run a little bit. He's definitely a guy, if you just let him sit back there and in rhythm, he throws the ball really well. So we've got to do that. They are definitely more of their scores are in the passing game than in the run game, but you can't focus so much on the pass game that you totally ignore the run game because they'll come back and hurt you with that. Defensively, they are a 4-3 defense. And so the thing with us and our offense that it's unique enough that you're not for sure what you'll see from them. And I think our kids have done a great job of whatever comes up, they'll take advantage of, whether it stays in the forefront, whether they go to an odd front, whether they're rolling corners down to be off the edge or to outside linebackers and what they do. So we'll just have to feel it out as the game goes as far as their defense and what they want to do. And we've just got to continue to get better each and every week. Hope that our crowd gets involved and our student body. It is a kind of, I think it's a rivalry game because it's only, I believe, about 20 miles north of us. And so we're hoping for great weather and think it's going to be a fantastic ball game.
Well, when you talk about Columbia City on offense and they have, you said 6'5", and a 6'5" sophomore quarterback, what kind of game prep do you take with someone like that that you know is big and can throw the ball versus someone like East Noble, where you know they're kind of a dual threat offense?
You just have to you just tweak your individual time, your group time on defense, and then your team defensive time. To make sure that you're taking away the stuff that they really want to do best at. You know, obviously, last week we really tried to put a couple linebackers spying the dual threat quarterback from East Noble. We may have that will be part of our package, but we'll also do some other things to also try to bring some pressure, whether we just have one spy, you know, maybe we have a zero spy where we bring some guys off the edge. We just don't want that quarterback to get too comfortable, and we want to give him multiple looks in our secondary coverage, and then what we're doing with our front six, and make it tough not only on him, but also make it tough on their offensive linemen and who's coming from where, and try to bring some extra pressure to flush him out a little bit. And he's a good enough athlete. He'll run the ball as well. It's just not as much as what the East Noble quarterback did.
Is the key, I guess it is to every game, but getting pressure on him without you stunting any of your defense?
Yeah, and you know, for us, because we are a slant and angle defense, you know, the better that our front guys play, and if they can come free on their own, we don't have to blitz as much, and it allows us to be more creative and dynamic with our linebackers. So it'll just be dependent on their protection scheme and what they're trying to do, and then we'll find ways to bring heat, whether that's our front three doing a great job up front and coming free, or we've got to bring extra guys to help get that pressure, and we'll just mix that up. But yeah, everybody plays a key role. So sometimes when you see an interception or great coverage, behind it, there's stuff going on up front that allows that interception to happen. And so it's that's a 11 piece moving part that every role is vital in making sure that we take care of business.
Anything else you want to cover about Friday's game before we get into looking ahead to next Saturday and some football picks from you?
No, we're just looking for a great week of practice from our young men, and I know they'll give that to us. And it's another opportunity to be at home in front of our home crowd and our community, and looking for a great night of football. And the more people that can come out and support our players, the better environment is and the more fun it is for everybody. So we're hoping that everybody can make it out and support our Vikings.
Well, let me ask you this, because you've mentioned it a couple times now, and you mentioned it a couple times before. You talk about the home crowd. Is it really, in a high school football game, is there really that kind of home field advantage that maybe you see in college or the pros?
I do. I sense it. I even sensed it coming out of our bleachers up at East Noble, that when we really got some stuff going, you can just feel the energy coming out of the bleachers. And I thought our student body crowd at our first home game was amazing, with the size and how loud they were and supportive. And our players do feed off of that, and there is definitely an advantage to that. And so we're just going to continue to ask, you know, we tell our players, the better you play, and especially at home, when people can see it, they're there, they can talk about it and help create a buzz and get more players involved helping. So, I mean, our more fans and student bodies, and it just becomes a whole thing. And we want this to be a community event. It's just not a football game, but we want our whole Huntington community, that this is something that's special for everybody.
All right. Well, let's shift gears just a tad. It was a great Saturday of college football this past weekend. Boy, we saw Army probably should have beat Michigan up there, and there's nothing better than seeing Michigan get beat. I was at Purdue this weekend watching the Boilermakers take care of Vanderbilt, and I'm telling you what, and you mentioned this last week, Rondell Moore is everything that is advertised. I have a picture up on our Facebook page of him jumping for a pass, and he's literally 3.5 feet in the air.
He is an explosive young man.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just want to say Purdue better enjoy him as long as they can with the rule that's in there. I think they'll get one more year out of him, and then I'm sure he's a young man that'll probably be in the pros before he gets to his senior year, would be my guess. But he is a special player.
Does the whole Brown situation in Los Angeles, Antonio Brown, make you happy that you're a high school coach? Maybe not the money, but
yeah. I mean, I guess I just there's two sides to every story and everything, but it sure sounds like to me that he was being more about himself than he was about his team. And so, you know, from our perspective and Brother Nation and everything we're trying to do, you know, we try to put the we before the I, and it's about we and not me. And so I just think that's a whole ugly thing that gives the entire athletic world a black eye when a person acts like that. Like I said, I'm sure there's two sides to every story with it. Boy, it sure seems like there was a whole lot of issues going on there, just not one little incident. And so, you know, I'm all about whatever we can do to emulate and be role models for young people to help them be successful in the way we want them to be and what we want society and culture to look like. And sure didn't seem like that was going on out there.
Well, let's pick a few games. It's another big weekend in college football next Saturday, so we're going to let you pick a few games for us. We're going to make this easy to start. We have IU and Ohio State. How do you see this one going?
Huge supporter of Coach Tom Allen and what he's trying to get accomplished at IU. He's an Indiana kid that graduated from Newcastle High School. Has coached high school football in Indiana. Would love to see them be able to pull this one off, but I'm not for sure that it's a good matchup for the Hoosiers, so you'd have to pick Ohio State.
You know, they did come off that 52, I think it was 52-0 win, but one of the great things about IU football that seems to be, especially when it comes to playing Ohio State, is back in the day when Lee Corso was the head coach, and they got that 7-0 lead on Ohio State, and he called the whole team out and had a team picture taken with the 7-0 lead on the scoreboard. They ended up losing 49-7, but I saw an interview with Coach Corso that was really a great interview about that moment.
Yeah, and you know, he's got a unique perspective on how he motivated. You know, when you look back through the last few years, IU has gave Ohio State some fits. They just can't hold on for the entire four quarters, and I think depth plays a role on that at all positions, and they just get wore down. But you know, I hope they can find a way to pull it off, but my hunch is there's just too much depth at Ohio State.
Next game, TCU, the Horned Frogs, come to Ross-Ade Stadium, taking on Purdue. Purdue coming off the big win against Vanderbilt. This one's going to be a tough one for the Boilers.
It will be a tough one, and I think it's tougher because TCU's coming off a bye week, so they've got a full 2 weeks to prepare for the Purdue offense. But I'm going to stick with the Boilers being at home and getting some momentum and being a night game. And I'm not 100% sure, but I think probably the last night game that Purdue had at home turned out to be a really good one for them. And so I'm going to say that they're going to keep that magic going at night.
You know, and kudos to the Boilers. I've been to that stadium, and there's not always a lot of people filling Ross-Ade. This stadium was packed this past weekend, so that was good to see.
Yeah, I think it was their biggest home opener crowd since 2008 is what I was told.
And then finally, before we let you go, I'll be up at Notre Dame. New Mexico comes calling to Notre Dame Stadium. Bob Davies will not make the trip, the former Notre Dame head coach, due to some medical issues. How do you see this one playing out?
You know, you got to go with the Irish at home. But I am reminiscent of last year when there was a big underdog early in the season that went up to Notre Dame and almost shocked the world with the Ball State Cardinals. And so they need to be on alert a little bit, but I will pick the Irish.
Anything else you want to add before we let you go?
No, just so grateful for this opportunity to share Huntington North football with everyone. And again, whatever you can do to support our young men, it's greatly appreciated. We're just so proud of the way that they are working and growing and getting better every day. It's an honor, a blessing, and I'm just so grateful. Huntington North.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach. Have a great week.
Thank you. It's a great day to be a Viking.
You're listening to the Bob Prescott Coaches Show on Indiana Talk Sports on SB Nation Radio.